welcome everybody to another live recording of the Business Travel 360 Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you are talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian and I'm one of your hosts today. I am the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read about just how we make that possible at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne. I'm a consultant with LeapShift. Happy to help you with anything related to retail, NDC, one order and distribution. Also an instructor with IATA and Aeroplus.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash. I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Additionally, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So for those new to the event, welcome. We really like seeing new faces here, so welcome to you. And for those regular listeners, thank you for giving us your time again on a Monday. The format of this discussion revolves around the news from last week, and last week was week 16, and we start with the first story, a company called DerbySoft, mostly specializing in the hotel distribution space. They've stepped into the airline tech with the acquisition of a company called PK Fair. And I've invited Mohit on the stage because, Mohit, you asked the question, will this change the status quo?
Great to be back. Yes, Rian, I think this is a great partnership and one to look out for the future. Maybe synergy, something like the e-traveler and the booking.com, you know, we're trying to create, you know, combining the best of flights and hotels. This, of course, is comparatively smaller and, you know, on the B2B front, but their portfolios are already quite great. I wish both of them find this useful.
Why do you think this is so significant?
This is very significant, Rian, because in the LCC aggregation state, there is only one big player that's, you know, controlling major share of the market. Last week only, we heard about 31 million NDC segments being booked through them. This is very, very important because DerbySoft is mostly in the hotel space and it's a US-based company, if I'm not wrong. And they ventured out with PK Fares, who has around 600 airlines. So, you know, combine the synergies that can form on the B2B side, they are up for success.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much, Mohit, for that contribution. We'll follow this with interest. My next story was interesting. Airline Weekly, they revealed their most and obviously also the least profitable airlines in 2023. So any surprises in there for you guys? And anything there that you think was not expected?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, what is it that Thai Airways are doing? I mean, that is remarkable, their profitability.
So for those in the audience who haven't seen the post yet, the Thai Airways operating margin is quoted at
25%. 5%? You sort of, I would love to find this out. You know, what is it that they do? It's incredible. Of course, we know that the likes of Ryanair, etc., are high. But I'm very happy on a personal level to see Philippine Airlines up there with a very, very good operating margin. Personal to me, I used to work for them. But then, of course, the other hand, it's quite shocking to see Norse. I mean, minus 30. Almost not minus 31.
Yes, minus 30.8%. And just again, for the audience, if they didn't hear that correct, minus 30.8. So, but they're going to be in our news a little bit later on. I'm quite impressed with the likes of Kenya Airways at 5.8%. Yep. That's brilliant. Ash, any that stood out there for you?
Obviously, my eyes went to the US airlines because, you know, we're talking about larger airlines. We're talking about very high overhead from a labor perspective. We talk about these airlines on the show, so we get to know quite a bit about them in different ways. So, you know, Delta number one, United number two, and then you go down the list there. It was surprising to see actually both JetBlue and Spirit, who were trying to merge with each other, both in the red. Obviously, that now, you know, this is that good old saying, right? Does two minuses make a positive? I don't think so. I think it makes a bigger minus. Southwest was interesting to me. They were very, very low, like
3.4%. Yes, that's,
you know, we always see a Southwest as a, you know, very good retailing efficient kind of an airline.
The one that surprised me the most was Qantas at 13%. I didn't expect them to be that high, given all the negative news we've heard about them lately. Next story was just a result. Somebody calculated what the recent amount of strikes cost the Lufthansa Group in total, and they've estimated that to be at 350 million euros. Sad times, really, right, Anne?
Because their loss was close to 900, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Million. Or was it 800? Yeah, 900 million. And it's interesting to see that the strikes represent 350. And then you really wonder, you know, the rest of the loss. It's not an airline group that is very healthy and not doing very well, for sure. And the strikes, of course, don't help.
Certainly doesn't help.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the $350 million, by the way, is just for Q1. They're expecting another $100 million in Q2. So the total bill is actually $450. But they're expecting also $2 billion in profit. So, you know, $2 billion in profit minus $450, not so bad.
Not so bad. Yes. Probably for me, the news of the week last week was this announcement by British Airways that they're now formally stepping into the offer order design space, and they've selected Amadeus to partner with, and specifically the Amadeus Nevio platform. So Anne, like all things Amadeus and airline hosting, I'm going to turn to you and just ask you, what's the significance of this announcement?
That's the third carrier that has chosen Nevio. We know that it's Finnair and Saudia, right? And now it's British Airways. It's a bit sort of surprising that in the press release that it was rather vague. I mean, it's not very clear, you know, where is Nevio? Is there sort of a prototype? Can we sort of see some sort of vision of this? That really surprises me in this announcement. And then, of course, you know, you always say, now we're just waiting for Lufthansa Group and for Air France KLM to follow. And I see that people are echoing that and saying, yes, that's what we believe as well. The European airline groups, they will choose Amadeus. They will not stray. I mean, they will. This is the partner that they choose. They may wander off for a bit, but they come back.
Does put Amadeus in an incredibly strong position, though.
Incredibly strong, very dominant. And of course, you know, they own and control the PSS environment. Now the NDC suite, now the offer and order, and of course they control the GDS distribution. So it's a very sort of closed environment. It's very dominant.
It's called playing the long game.
It is. They're doing a remarkably good job of playing the long game.
And God knows British Airways needs this.
And isn't the profit margin of Amadeus 45%? So, you know, it is, it's obviously the line of business you should be in.
Yes.
It's much more profitable than the airline industry.
Then, of course, we all saw the other big news in travel last week, which was the incredible situation in Dubai specifically, where they've had, you know, I said in my story 2 years worth of rainfall in a day, but some people said it was, you know, different numbers, but it doesn't matter. It was an amazing amount of rainfall. It was very interesting to see how things unfolded, right? Because there was an initial, this is not much, it's fine. They actually shut the airport only for 25 minutes, which was obviously, in hindsight, not the best thing to do. And then they reopened again. And then all sorts of knock-on effects. And I also have to mention, I think, Anne, you also follow her, but Pam Am Wansagram on Instagram, she did a little sketch where she was pretending to be a Emirates spokesperson. They said, oh, it's just drizzling. It's just drizzling. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine, which was exactly their attitude. And then, of course, that really imploded on them. And, of course, as we saw towards the end of the week, they made this very personal apology to all their passengers affected. But I follow quite a few travel agency groups on some of the social platforms I'm on, and yes, it was absolute chaos. So I guess we do see how unprepared an airline is in these sort of situations. Now, to be fair to them, it was exceptional. This was a really exceptional situation. But clearly, from my perspective, I don't think they were that prepared for this at all.
No, it's just really shocking where you saw the, like you said, on social media, you saw people saying there is no information, there is no nothing. They also took screenshots of the app. It was, troubling. Technically, they seemed very unprepared.
Norse Atlantic Airways surprised many by announcing a new route after they did not continue with their planned Barbados route, and they've announced London Gatwick to Cape Town as a return route. I saw quite a few comments on this story. I'm picking that story because I'm probably a bit biased with my old hometown of Cape Town being in there, and of course the fares look great. I did a quick check and some of those fares are absolutely amazing. I'd be very interested to hear what you think about this, Anne. Do you think it's a good move or a desperate move?
Honestly, don't know what to think about these guys anymore. I mean, you know, we look at how hugely unprofitable they are. What really worries me is that they announce, you know, one destination, then they reintroduce something. I'm a bit sort of at a loss, you know, trying to understand what is their vision. And don't you? I mean, isn't it confusing?
Well, I don't think they have a vision, Anne. That's why it's minus 30%.
Yes.
When you change your route and you change your destinations, I think your customers get a little confused about what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
I think the writing is on the wall.
Just let me get my flight to Cape Town in and back.
Well, you might get a flight down to Cape Town.
Yes.
Probably not back.
Back.
That's fine. We'll just do the show from there. That's okay. Hey guys, with the room being so full, let me just take a moment before we continue to turn to the audience and say, wow, this is fantastic. It's really nice to see new faces in here, as I mentioned at the start. But I just want to say and remind you that the purpose of linking the travel industry is to make sure that as many of us are connected to one another. So please do scroll through the room, reach out to your industry peers there and connect to them. And by all means, accept the connection request today. We really think more of us should be connected. And that is our mission here at Linking the Travel Industry. I also want to select one person and just make them our link of the week. And this week, I don't know you, but I know Anne knows you. So Ellen, I'm going to pick you as our link of the week. Ellen Runyon at SAP Concur. You are our link of the week. I'm also going to send you my connection request and hopefully you'll accept. But thank you for being here and I hope you're enjoying the event. And again, thank you to everybody else for giving us your time, especially on a Monday. And I spotted a very nice post by Rita Fisser at Oracle where she was talking about all the activity going on, and she said the pendulum swing is wide and there's lots happening in the middle of that swing, and I particularly like that, and I think Rita did a great post there. So those were the stories on my list. And do you have any extra stories?
Yes, well, a couple. And I don't know, I think you sort of just missed this one from your list, right? About Delta announcing who their partners are for their NDC.
Oh, my word. Did I miss that off my own list?
Yes, you did. It's
okay.
You are okay.
Right. Didn't we talk about that last week?
We talked about it last week because Ash was at Elevate, right? And
yes.
So we talked about the announcement, but yes. They made a public announcement.
Sure.
This week.
But you see, and we're so ahead of the game that we yes. are ahead of the news, right? So that's why it wasn't on my list. There we go. But yeah, it's worth absolutely worth talking about for sure. Sorry, Anne.
And we did predict this, right? We are ahead of the game because we have predicted that Delta will get into this game, just like we've actually predicted that British Airways was going to choose Amadeus as their partner. So yeah, we're doing quite well here and we should start a betting shop.
Definitely should be playing the lotto. I tell you, that's what we should do.
They also announced their partners, and that is Axelia and Phylogix then as the NDC facilitator. They've also named Google in there, I believe, of course, is for the shopping. They've named IATA. As I read it, it's about the 21.3 standard, and also ARC, of course, in the game. But they never in the press release did they sort of specifically, this is just my guesswork, who does what.
You may not be able to answer this question, but is Axelia a good choice for them, or would you like to sit on the fence on that one?
I think we can clearly see what the trend is. We see that the US airlines are choosing Axelia as a facilitator when it comes to NDC. And we can see that the European airlines are not doing that and go with Amadeus with the NDC suite.
No, yeah. But it is interesting to see that trend and see where it's going.
It would be great to see more of the solutions.
Okay. Yeah. Any other extra stories?
Yes. I actually posted about this today as well, because there was a story from the head for Points, Rob Burgess, right? It's just such a mess. He had a post, BA lounges and BA lounge access. And that really gives you a headache when you read that. It's so sad. Customers must be horrendously confused. And this was particularly about code shares. So if you have a BA status, all of a sudden, if Air Baltic are operating, then you don't get access to the lounge and stuff. Oh, what a nightmare. This has actually happened to me a few times as well.
I haven't read that story, but I just saw your comment that this should never be so complicated at all. But I agree, I've experienced that where even there's even confusion between the check-in person and the gate, you know, the person at the lounge.
Yeah, so those were the two stories that
I'd like
to sort of highlight.
Any extra stories from your side, Ash?
I actually have two stories that are very related to each other. I'll start with the first one. In March of 2024, ARC reports for the first time that the number of tickets sold by U.S. corporate travel agencies has dropped by 5%. And this is despite the fact that travel is actually up. So it's not a matter of travel overall. It's just a matter of how people are choosing to book. I wonder if this is a sign of things to come or this is just an anomaly for 1 month. And then the second one was a survey that was done that talks about what travel buyers are dealing with in regards to NDC. And of course, there's a lot of statistics here. The ones that stood out for me was that traveler complaints are increasing. 69% of them said this. Value of the travel management company is being questioned. The travel program is being questioned, roughly 50% for that. And the most important one out of all of them is the fact that they are having to demonstrate the value of the the TMC to their bosses at 60%. A lot of questioning of travel programs being created as a result of all the changes that are being made in strategy. So, you know, my thinking in all of this is that whenever the travel industry shifts, you got to shift with it. You got to understand where things are going.
I thought you said you're never going to mention that acronym again, but there you just did. Now tell me...
that was last week.
Oh, yes. Okay, fine. So you quoted the percentage there of people unhappy travelers. Unhappy with what?
Just unhappy with content. There's a lot of questions coming back about, I don't see this, I see that. So we knew this was going to happen as time went on, right? As the airlines got aggressive with their strategies. So if corporate booking tools are not picking up on these fares and the content, then of course, travelers are always savvy enough to compare between airline websites and corporate booking tools. So this is just a result of all of that.
My extra story was a post I spotted by Corinne Streichart. It was an interesting story where she wrote about her experience on buying a ticket on AA.com. She was offered a credit card in the process. She opted in for it. And then, of course, the whole thing fell through because there wasn't really a connection there between the credit card process and then the actual payment to the airline. There was a credit limit, etc. I don't know if you spotted that story, Ash. We might be seeing making a big issue out of this. But I made a comment on there which raised a lot of other comments, which was just about challenge that the airlines still have in offering a good experience when it comes to retail experience to the end user, right? It was a good intent, but very poorly executed was the bottom line.
This happens quite often. Actually, it happened to my cousin just a couple of weeks ago. He was on a Hilton website, booking a Hilton rate. They have a promotion that says, hey, if you get this card, we'll discount your room night by $100. Takes the promotion. He's traveling just a couple of days later. So the expectation that was delivered through that process was that you can get this because they show you that your room was $200. Now it's going to be $100 because of this great credit card offer. So they present it to you in a way that makes you feel like, yes, I'm going to get it for this reservation, but there's no connection there. So you're absolutely right. This happens very, very often.
And we are all drumming the drums for the airlines to be better at retailing. But, you know, how are they going to get these basic things right?
What I see, what positive trends are in the industry, and you know, there are very few airlines that are really good at this. I typically say that there are 15 to 20 airlines in the world who do this remarkably well. One trend that airlines are telling me is that they are finally hiring people from retail. And this makes me super happy. You know, there is another understanding of how important this is, like processes we're talking about. So it's just really the synergies have to get better. The removing of the silos just has to improve. But of course, you know, there are those who do it well. There are not so many.
I absolutely applaud that. And you can see that. I mean, for me as well, we have to bring people in from outside. You know, gone are the days where we can say, oh, this is so specific, it's travel. No, this is retail.
No.
And it's just, we can learn a lot of lessons from others from outside the industry. Okay, very good, guys. I think that brings us to the end of today's show. Fantastic once again to see many new faces. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mohit, for your comments. Thank you, Anne and Ash, for your time. Over to you, Anne.
Thanks, everyone. It's great to have you here. And a special shout out to Ellen.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining today's live recording of Linking the Travel Industry. We record this podcast live every week on Monday. Please do share this event with everyone that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. If you ever miss a show because of time zone or availability, the podcast is available on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.